like to turn to Psalm 133 to start with, the 133rd Psalm. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For therefore the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. We get in that portion that which has to do with our thoughts, which has to do with our speech, which has to do with our walk. Now I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is, don't let the thought be that I want to get as much for myself as I can. Let's think about others and what they will get, what is due to them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Perhaps that's far enough. Now I'd like to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. I've been enjoying for my own soul the story of Gideon. In fact, the book of Judges, how applicable it is for us in the day in which we live. These people of God that had God as their captain and provided everything for them as they went through the wilderness, and yet time and time again they turned away from him. And they would even go as far as to say, we will not. I wonder if that's sort of attitude in any of our hearts. Do we ever find that kind of an attitude? That when we hear the truth of God presented, we say, I don't like that. I can't accept that. Or I will not. God hears that. We can't tamper with the word of God, with the truth of God, and expect to get by with it. An old brother used to say, we get by with nothing. And how true that is. So we are to walk in fear and trembling down here. God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's do all things without murmurings and disputings. We've had something about the accuser, you know, and how we can fall into that ourselves. As our brother said here, I don't say this because I'm immune to it, because it's for myself. The Word of God is a two-edged sword, and it points both ways, right back to the speaker, as well as to those to whom I am addressing this afternoon. And I trust that it will be for profit. You know, we have had so much in these meetings. We've had heavenly truth. And some might say, we've been up in the heavenlies now all these through these meetings. Now, why are we coming down to such a topic as strife and accusations and so forth? Because I believe, brethren, we so easily lose it. Take heed. We are told that you don't let these things run out as leaking vessels, lest at any time you should let them slip. Oh, how easy that is to do. You know, we can leave these meetings, we can be here, and we can say how much we enjoyed the meetings, and we can go back to our home assembly, and we can either profit by these meetings, and we can either be a benefit to those that we, and take back some of the stuff, as it were, and help our brethren, or we can carry on where we left off, and we're either a help or a hindrance, aren't we? Indeed. I'd like to read a little bit of story of Gideon. We know perhaps it's not taken up in this way exactly, but I'd like to take it up in this, in the sense in which we have been speaking about. So we'll read quickly some of it. I'm sure everyone here is quite familiar with this story, and I shouldn't have to read it all. But let's read it just to acquaint ourselves afresh. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou comest unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress, or in the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee. and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry till thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even a second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that it was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will he save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be in the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And so it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this one, once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon the ground, that there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Well, we don't have time to read the whole thing that far enough. But you know, Midian means strife. And God sometimes allows Midian to come in amongst the saints of God and disturb us and take away that which is our portion. Take away the enjoyment of the things that you and I have enjoyed here this weekend, and impoverish the saints. Have we known that? Am I talking to anybody here this afternoon that holds a grudge against your brother, against your sister? Am I talking to anybody here that has not in some way known a little bit about strife, about being a part of it? I must confess, I have. It says the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And you know, I don't suppose anything has divided the saints of God like that. And it's so easy for us to partake in that, and as our brother has said, be on the accuser's side. There is a remedy for it, isn't there? We read in Philippians that it was the desire of the apostle that they would be all of one mind and of one accord. You know, at the very beginning in the day of, on the day of Pentecost, that's what it says. They were all of one mind, of one accord. How long did it stay that way? How long did it take until strife came in amongst them? The sixth chapter of Acts. And so, if we're not careful, brethren, and I speak to my own soul, that these things that we have enjoyed can be taken from us, the enjoyment of them, I should say, can be taken from us, and we cease to be a help amongst our brethren. You know, we can all be, as I said before, be a help or a hindrance. And I believe the answer to it is what we read in the second chapter of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you and I, brethren, look at one another, what are we going to see? You're going to see something in me you don't like. And I'm going to see something in you you don't like. Let us be careful, because the Word of God says that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We don't know each other after the flesh as we did before. We shouldn't. We've had before us that the flesh is there, that flesh is to be kept in the place of death. And we are now have that new life, the life of Christ, that is to be operative in our souls and in our life, and we are to live in that. And when I look at you, brother, and you, sister, I look at you as Christ sees you. That's the way I ought to. How do we look at one another? Do you look at one another? Do you look at your brother or you look at your sister as someone who is still in the flesh? I confess, we do, don't we? That's the cause of strife. The Lord Jesus says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Did he have, let's say this, there was no one in the face of the earth that ever walked on this earth that had more right than the Lord Jesus to exert and to enforce his authority. But what did he do? He says, "I came not to serve, to be served, but to serve." And so, we read in Philippians that he took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And so, as we keep our eye upon him as that lowly servant, doing always the Father's will, I don't think there's any room left for strife, is there? We can go on side by side, looking at the same object. You know, if you and I were walking down the street together, and we're looking at the same object, we probably wouldn't even bump into each other, because we'd have our eyes fixed upon the goal. The runners, when they're running a race, you know, they have those lines down the track, and they stay within those bounds, and their eye is on the goal. And as long as they don't cross those bounds, they won't bump into each other. And there are bounds that are set in the Word of God for us. And the object is Christ. Let us run the race, the apostle says. Well, getting back to Gideon, as I said, Midian means strife. And the Lord allowed the children of Israel to come under the power of Midian, of the Midianites and the Amalekites, because they said, "Ye have not obeyed my voice." And you know, brethren, as I think of it, in this sense, that the Lord sometimes allows these difficulties to come into our midst because we know the truth, but we're not walking in it. You're yet carnal, and walk as men. And so as we do this, we participate in the strife. We perhaps add a little fuel to the fire. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. And so if we don't contribute to the strife, fire goes out. So Gideon, We haven't got to Gideon yet, but Midian. Now, Midian was closely associated with Abraham through Keturah. And when Midian came in to test God's people here, they lost three things. They lost their freedom, and they lost their fruitfulness, and they lost their food. Turn to that verse 4. 3 and 4. It was so when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of East even came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. You know, once the Midianites came in, they just multiplied. And they were as grasshoppers, the poor Israelites. Here they were to be with God as their captain, shall we say, and yet they turned away from him. And they said, "We won't do that. We won't listen to your voice." They may not have said those very words, but in their very actions, they said it. And you and I may not say those very things, brethren, but by our actions, we don't keep the word of truth. And so, when strife comes in, the Midianites multiply. Strife comes in. Does it get any better? Doesn't get any better. It gets worse and worse and worse. And it got so bad here that finally the children of Israel cried to the Lord. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He sent a prophet. And he gave them a word that reminded them of why they were where they were. So the Lord sent a prophet. Well, we'll hurry along here. We don't have time to touch on all the points. So it says in verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. And the Abiezrite and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Ophrah, I understand, means dust. And Joash means despair. And Abiezer means the son of my father is help. Let's put these together. If you and I are going to be a help in stopping the strife, shall we say, let's assume it's in the assembly where you come from. Let's make this practical. Because these things affect us, brethren, do they not? They affect us. And you and I are the only ones, through God's help, that can put a stop to it. And so the place for to get is in the dust. And it's only when we are in that depths of despair, where the children of Israel were here, that they cried unto the Lord. And the only one who can help is God. My Father is help. That's where we have to get to. And so we see this little picture in Gideon. In this story of Gideon. And where was he? He was, I believe the proper word is that he was threshing wheat in the winepress, which means the winepress was empty. And he was doing it because of the Midianites, so that he wanted to get food for himself. And shall we say, you know, the wine speaks of joy. Was there any joy in Israel at this time? No. Not one drop. But here was a man who God could look at and say, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." What was he doing? Was he out there wielding a sword and saying, "Come, follow me, I'm going to take care of the Midianites"? And we'll never take care of the Midianites that way. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." And so, where is he? He's in the wine press, beating out a little bit of food for himself. Because otherwise, the Midianites would take it from him. They were impoverished. And the saints of God, you know, sometimes become to the point where they're impoverished and there's no food. Is there any food in your assembly, brother? your sister? Is there any food there? There is, you know, but you might not be eating it. Perhaps you're being robbed of that food by the Midianites. And so, what does he do? He's hiding it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And right away Gideon says, "Me? I'm a mighty man of valor? What am I doing? And why me? I'm just the least in these tribes of Israel. My family comes from Manasseh. And our family, our tribe is divided. Half of it's over on the other side of Jordan, half it's over here. And I'm just a weak vessel here. I'm a mighty man of valor." But you know, Gideon recognized it. He recognized it, that he was weak. And the Apostle Paul could say, "When I'm weak, then am I strong." And so it is with you and me. I'm not limiting any ages here. It's not limited to age. Are you a young brother in your assembly? Young sister? Are you trying to help those young people along that are with you, those young sisters, those young brothers? Are you trying to be an example of the believer, like it says in Timothy? Be thou an example of the believer. And so we can, each one of us, can contribute to that. Gideon felt his weakness. He had his face in the dust. And he said, as it were, "My father's help." That's where it came from. And so he says, "The Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?'" This thy might. What was that might? The word of the Lord. "Have not I sent thee?" And if you and I, dear brother or sister, want to help, be a help in our in the place where we come from, the Lord is with us. No, regardless of how weak that might be. A brother once said to me, as a young man, he says, "If you want to be a help to the people of God, walk with the Lord." It's as simple as that. Walk with the Lord. But we have the enemy. We have, as our brother had brought before us, we have the accuser. But we also have the advocate. And so, Manasseh, "My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, 'Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.'" Well, let's go forth a little bit further. Gideon went in and made ready a kid. And so in verse 19, what does he do? He put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. You notice in verse 11, the angel came, appeared unto him under the oak. I've appreciated those expressions, under the oak, under the oak, under the oak. To me, it means that we bring in Calvary. We bring in the tree on which the Lord of glory died. When Deborah died, she was buried under an oak. Death comes into our family. Difficulties come in. Let's go to Calvary. Whatever it might be. There's idols in our life. Put them away. They were buried under the oak. And so here, the angel of the Lord, if we are abiding at Calvary, brethren, if you and I abide at Calvary, that's where the Lord will appear to us. And He'll make His mind known to us so that we might serve Him. And so he found him. And now, what does he do here now? He brings this broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock." You'll notice here in verse 20, we get the rock and we get the staff. We get the fire. This, I believe, would remind us of the sacrifice of our Lord. How he was poured out unto death. The Apostle Paul could say that he was poured out as a sweet savor. as a drink offering rather, himself, a little picture of the Lord Jesus being poured out before God as that perfect drink offering. And so we get the flesh here for an offering and the cakes for a meal offering, shall we say, and the broth for a drink offering. And this is all offered up in connection with what we get here, the rod, the staff, and the fire. And so, brethren, I submit that if we're going to defeat the Midianites, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's our guide. That takes us to Calvary. That takes us to the sufferings of our Lord Jesus. And we're told that we are to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood. And we'll live by that. That's how we're saved. And that's how we live. Now, we get in verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. What does that mean? The Lord, our peace. That's very fitting, isn't it? In view of strife, the Lord, our peace. Our brother brought before us that about peace, about us sowing peace. The fruits of righteousness are known in them that sow is peace, sow righteousness. We'll just skim over this. Our time is going. Verse 25 brings before us the second bullock of 7 years. I suppose the first bullock would speak of that which is natural. The second bullock is that which was the sacrifice. And so we find further on that Gideon took 10 men and he went down and he destroyed the idol of his father. And you know, before we can be delivered, before the people of God can be delivered at all, the cause of it has to be known. And we have to go back to that source and we have to take care of that problem. In my own life, yes, that's where it starts. Gideon went back to his father's house and there he took care of those idols reminded him of what the children of Israel had fallen into. And so he destroys those idols. And first of all, we must destroy those idols in our own life. It says in the Word of God that we are to make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. And so, I say this personally to each one of us. Every one of us, I say here in this room, can take these things personally to ourselves and say, before the Lord, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be a part of the strife. I want to be a part of the remedy. What is the difficulty in your home assembly? Is there any? I trust there isn't. But you know, if there is, let us go back to our home assemblies and let us see if we can rather be a bomb instead. That I don't mean that in the explosive type. I mean in the soothing type. Let us go back and keep the Lord before us and say, Lord, I want to be a help until the Lord comes. I want to be like the Lord Jesus. As we read in Philippians, and it says there, do all things without murmurings and disputings. God worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, we know what took place here. And there's too much here to go into it in any more detail. But in verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and Abiezer was gathered after him. And you know, brethren, if there is a desire in your soul and mine to walk with the Lord, look around. There's probably somebody following you. When Jonathan and his armor bearer delivered that little piece of land, What took place? Where were the children of Israel at that time? They're in the holes of the rocks and in the caves. They're hiding from the enemy. And Jonathan and his armor bearer go up and they take that piece of ground And they defeat those Philistines up there. And what happened? The children of Israel came out of the holes of the rocks and the caves. And they came and helped. And you know, we would might be surprised just if you and I make straight paths for our feet, just how many would be healed? Just how many would come up and, shall we say, walk with us? Go on with those that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. How wonderful these things are. You know, God promises them to us. He says, I will be with you, Gideon. And so Gideon could count on the word of the Lord. Was Gideon disturbed because of the condition of the people of Israel? Indeed he was. Indeed he was. And do you and I look about us and we say, oh Lord, this isn't the way it should be. I know my own heart. My own heart is so weak. And I've contributed to this whole condition of things. Can we say that? Oh, then we're on the right track. Let us own to the Lord. Let's break down those idols first in our own souls, in our own home, and then go on and trust the Lord for to be faithful to His Word and keep our eyes upon that perfect object. Now, I don't suppose we have any more time to go into the next chapter, but I just like to read the 8th chapter, just a little bit in the 8th chapter, because I believe this is a little example of one way that that we can be like the Lord Jesus. The men of Ephraim said unto him, this is after Gideon had destroyed the children of the Midianites, Gideon had destroyed the Midianites. Let's go back a little bit before this in chapter 7:24, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethberah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Bethberah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Zeb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, on the other side of Jordan. Oreb means raven, and Zeb means a wolf. Galatians tells us, take heed, brethren, that you don't bite and devour one another. I believe reference was made to the book of Galatians, and we didn't read that verse, I don't believe, but that's a solemn thing, isn't it, that we don't bite and devour one another. That's an awful thing, isn't it, to say about the saints of God? Biting and devouring one another? Does it really happen? You know it does, and I know it does, and it shouldn't. James says, how can these things both come out of the same mouth? Cursing and blessing. These things shouldn't be so, brethren, he says. And so these are terrible things to think of. But we turn away from it, and we go to Philippians 2 again, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at Him. You know, I believe we should have that hanging up on one side, and then we can read all these things on the other side. And as we read them, we look over here, and we get turned around and straightened around again, and we say, there's the answer. And we look at this. The more we look at this, the worse this looks. A list of things, biting and devouring one another. And then we become impoverished, and then there's a famine in the land, and we don't know what to do. Cry to the Lord. And you and I, sister, brother, we can start right here. We don't say, waiting for this brother over here to start the ball rolling, shall we say, or to do something about it, because there's nothing wrong with me. I mean, I'm not the problem here. We got to wait for this brother to get straightened up. Is that the way it is? Start right here. Chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeban, what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Isn't that nice? What a spirit. A lot different than it was later when we get later on with Abimelech. He goes in there with this hammer and the sword and he slays all the men that won't follow him. They won't abide by him. But here, Gideon, what a spirit. He says, when they say, how come you didn't include us in all this? Do we know anybody like that? Have we been like that ourselves? How come you didn't let us know? How come you didn't tell us what was going on in the meeting? Or how come you didn't tell us about the picnic? Or all these things happened and we say, oh, well, I'm sorry. We just didn't think. And so the spirit of strife begins. I'm always being left out. Do you say that? Do you hear it said? Does that cause problems in the assembly? Absolutely. So Gideon calms them down. He says, look, what have I done in comparison to you? God's delivered Oreb and Zeb into your hands, and that's nothing. What I've done is nothing compared to you. And here Gideon had gone out with 300 men and fought this innumerable host of the Midianites and slew them without a sword. But he says, it's nothing in comparison to what you've done. Wasn't that a nice way to deal with that spirit and say, brother, you don't know how much I value what you have done. Sister, you don't know how much you're needed in this assembly. I believe this is a way that we can take care of strife, isn't it? A way we can take care of biting and devouring one another. And so, you know, just a few more minutes, bear with me. So they wanted to make Gideon a king. He said, no, I'm not going to be your king. God has done this. I don't want to be your king. It's not God's time for a king yet. And that was a nice spirit of Gideon's. And then we find that Gideon had 70 sons plus one. No one son was the son of a concubine. And so, as we read later on, we see Gideon, all of a sudden, the time comes in Gideon's life where he says, bring me the gold and the silver and I'm going to make an ephod. And then you can come up and you can have your questions answered here by this ephod. It wasn't Gideon's right to do that. So there Gideon introduced. As I said at the beginning, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And take heed that we don't let these things slip that we have learned. And you know, as we get older, sometimes we think we have arrived. And that there is nothing now that is going to, we're untouchable as it were, and we're going to go on from here until the Lord comes without any falling. Oh. Is there anybody here in this room that is too old for that? Too young? No. We're all in danger of it if we don't keep our eyes upon the perfect object. And so Gideon sat back, shall we say, in his ease, and he fell into this snare. And he introduced that idol, that very thing that he had destroyed in Israel. And it came back in through his house. And then he has a son by the concubine. You know what he named him? Abimelech. What does it mean? My father is king. The seed was there. He wasn't going to be king, but perhaps he deep down wanted to be. So he named his son, my father is king. And what happened? Abimelech became king. And he slew all those 70 sons of Gideon upon one rock. It was a ceremonial slaying. Bring one up, slay him. Bring another one up, slay him. And so on. 70 sons upon one rock. What a terrible thing. And yet, in a spiritual sense, we can do the same thing. I shudder when I think that that's right here in my heart. Capable of it. Well, have we slain anybody? We cut off anybody's ears? Well, these things are real, aren't they? Our time is up. But may God just make this little story of Gideon a practical picture of what you and I can do by God's help in preventing these things from spreading and multiplying like the Midianites, that we might go on with one mind and with one accord and with one heart and one purpose until the Lord takes us home.